Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over any other device and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful, sunny, but kind of little chill on my neck of the wood. I hope and pray you have good weather wherever you are. This is our part two review of our chapter 67 entitled Woes on the Pharisees, part 7. Lesson 317 on this blessed Sabbath, November 14, 2020. Welcome to all those that are just joining us. Our tiny tot song from last week is entitled Jesus Loves Me, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with us.
I bet that means me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, when I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Nick. If any one of the little ones helped by their mommy would like to have opening prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you in this beautiful and blessed day for waking up in this morning. We ask you, dear Father, to open our minds, to open our ears and our hearts to be attentive and receptive to your word. Dear Father, we also thank you for all your blessings during this week. And we ask you also to protect every family, every child, every person in this room. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear Ana Maria, and welcome to all the dear brethren that are just joining us. So it's story time. So let's use our listening ears, little ones, and we will allow our dear brother to be able to narrate our new book, Golden Treasures of Bible Story.
All right. In the beginning, part two. So the next day, God said, let there be air to make the sky. And let the sky be between the water on the earth and the water above the sky. And it was so. And the earth kept on turning out of the light into the dark and back to the light again. And the evening and the morning were the second day. When God created this world, he started the day at sundown. We started at dawn. That's why it says the evening and the morning were the first and second and third day. Then the next day, God said, let the waters on the earth be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And all at once, there was dry land, and it rose above the waters. God called the dry land earth, and the waters he called sea. We call it ocean today. And yet there was nothing on the earth but bare ground. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and plants bearing seed and fruit trees bearing good fruit. All of a sudden the earth was a garden. The grass sprang up, the plants came up with beautiful flowers on them, and the trees grew and grew. Why, you could even see them grow with branches and little twigs and leaves on them to make shape and flowers to make fruit, a shade and flowers to make fruit. Oh, it was a beautiful garden indeed. And that was the third day. And the earth turned on away from the sunlight, the daylight, into the darkness of night. And it went around all the way until it came to the light again. And now God said, let there be lights in the heavens, a great light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night, and many, many little lights to sprinkle the sky in the night. Suddenly there was the sun shining in its might or strength, making the day the light of day. And the earth rolled around into the night, and the moon, and there was the moon to shed its soft light on the earth. And there were the stars, many, many, many of them, to light up the sky in the night. And the earth rolled around to the sun and the light again. And it was the fourth day. And now we'll see what happens next week, on the next day of creation. I forgot to ask if they had any questions, but I'll do it now, and then I'll go back to the chat and see if they show up. Let's see. Drop that. Come back to chat. What is the difference between sundown and dawn? Well, at sundown, it gets dark, and at dawn, it gets light again. And according to God's word, the dawn happens halfway through the day that God created. Let's see if there's any other questions here. Well, I don't see one. Sundown, sunset, dawn, early morning, or when the sun is above, about to rise, sundown, dusk. Okay, if that's it, I'll pass the question. Yeah, I'll pass the mic back to Rose. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Dave. For those that are in listening devices, our dear sister has shared sundown, sunset, dawn, early morning, or when sun is about to rise, which is sundown or dusk. Thank you so much, dear Sister Yee, for sharing. And let us continue. Remember, little ones, a little walk with Jesus make it right. All right. A little walk with Jesus make it right. All right. If you're naughty or unkind, praise God, you'll always find A little walk with Jesus makes it right, alright. Our opening hymn to our family study is entitled Wonderful Words of Life from our team, number 286. If anyone of the dear family would like to take some of the verses, you may unmute your mic to do so. Sing them all over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Thank you, Daddy. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the love and call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. If any one of the older children or parents would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Loving Father in heaven, we ask your blessing and your presence to come and be with us this morning as we study your word. Bless each person that's here to take part and those they're going to lead out. May we have your blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So our opening verse for our review lessons in our theme is taken from Micah chapter 6. Verse 8 from the King James Version, and it's a memory verse song. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy,
and to walk
humbly with thy God. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week? Before we hear your question, your comment, or anything you would like to share with your dear Remnant family, let's take a few minutes to reread what we have read last Sabbath in our part two of our lesson entitled Woes on the Pharisees, part seven, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 619. Looking forward, Jesus declared that the impenitence of the Jews and their intolerance of God's servants would be the same in the future as it has been in the past. Desire of Ages, page 619, paragraph 3. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. And continue on the next slide, please. And I'll bubble down for someone else if they would like to share the reading.
Desire of Ages, page 619, continuing. Prophets and wise men full of faith in the Holy Ghost, Stephen, James, and many others, would be condemned and slain. With hand uplifted to heaven and a divine light enshrining his person, Christ spoke as a judge to those before him. His voice that had so often been heard in gentleness and entreaty was now heard in rebuke and condemnation. The listeners shuddered. Never was the impression made by his words and his look to be effaced. Desire of Ages, page 619, paragraph 4.
So have a blessing, everyone. Continuing on page, on Desire of Ages, page 619. Christ's indignation was directed against the hypocrisy, the gross sins by which men were destroying their own souls, deceiving the people and dishonoring God. In the spacious, deceptive reasoning of the priests and rulers, he discerned the working of satanic agencies. Keen and searching had been his denunciation of sin, but he spoke no words of retaliation. He had a holy wrath against the prince of darkness, but he manifested no irritated temper. Next slide, please.
Desire of Ages, page 619, continuing. So the Christian who lives in harmony with God, possessing the sweet attributes of love and mercy, will feel a righteous indignation against sin. He will not be roused by passion to revile those who revile him. Even in meeting those who are moved by a power from beneath to maintain falsehood, in Christ he will still preserve calmness and self-possession. Desire of Ages, page 619, paragraph 5.
Desire of Ages, page 600. Can't see the page, but divine pity marked the countenance of the Son of God as he cast one lingering look upon the temple and then upon his hearers. In a voice choked by deep anguish of heart and bitter tears, he exclaimed, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Next slide, please.
Continuing, this is the separation struggle. In the lamentation of Christ, the very heart of God is pouring itself forth. It is the mysterious farewell of the long-suffering love of the Deity. Desire of Ages 620, paragraph 1. Pharisees and Sadducees were alike silenced. Jesus summoned his disciples and prepared to leave the temple, not as one defeated and forced from the presence of his adversaries, but as one whose work was accomplished. He retired a victor from the contest. Desire of Ages, 620, paragraph 2.
The gems of truth that fell from Christ's lips on the eventful day were treasured in many hearts. For them, new thoughts started into life. New aspirations were awakened and a new history begun. After the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, these persons came to the front and fulfilled their divine commission with the wisdom and zeal corresponding to the greatness of the work. Amen.
Amen. And on the side, John chapter 6, verse 63 from the King James Bible reads, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Also from Psalms 40, verse 7 from the King James Version, it reads, "Then say I, lo, I come in a volume of the book. It is written of me." Also from John 6:35 from the King James Version, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And the two examples that are shown of having the meeting with Jesus was Nicodemus as an example, that he went looking for his own conviction and the truth. He went and met with Jesus privately. And also the faith that Joseph of Arimathea had when he decided to go before the officials of Rome to be able to ask for the body of Christ. And I will continue by taking the next paragraph. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take the next paragraph, may you unmute your mic.
"They bore a message that appealed to the hearts of men, weakening the old superstitions that had long dwarfed the lives of thousands. Before their testimony, human theories and philosophies became as idle fables. Mighty were the results flowing from the words of the Savior to that wondering, awestruck crowds in the Temple of Jerusalem."
And on the slide, And on the slide, it's John 19, verse 38, King James Version, and it says, "Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus." Amen.
"But Israel as a nation had divorced herself from God. The natural branches of the olive tree were broken off, looking for the last time upon the interior of the temple. Jesus said with mournful pathos, 'Behold, your house is left unto the desolate. Where I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'"
Continuing, Layla.
"Hitherto he had called the temple his father's house, but now as the Son of God should pass out from those walls, God precincts would be withdrawn forever from the temple built to his glory. Henceforth, his ceremonies would be meaningless, its services a mockery."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Sister Layla. So let's consider this verse for our review section of our theme. From 1 Peter 3:15, King James Bible. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And with that verse said, what have we learned and ways we have grown? The sixth question that we had retained for the review, we are going to ask now if any one of the dear little ones, mommies or daddies or even our guests, would like to share their answer with the room. The first one, who is the main characters?
Jesus, the Pharisees, and Sadducees.
Is there any one of the brethren that would like to elaborate or even add? You can't be able to unmute your mic. Second, what is the main idea for this section of our story?
Jesus reproving the rulers for their dishonest ways.
Any one of the dear family would like to add and share their answer as well? May you unmute your mic.
I would like to add that as he reproved the Pharisees of their wrong, he also maintained, as it was written there, that he retained unrighteous indignation, but he was not, he maintained his composure and was not led by any, you know, he did not get angry or so. That's what I wanted to add.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. And that will help us also in the instructions that we have been given by the sermon section. What have we learned with the instruction? This is one that we can be able to take into account what we have learned from this and what we can also apply and where we have come short of the very lesson that our Savior was sharing. I just wanted to add that. Now, the third one, where did the story take place?
In the temple.
And what section of the temple was that instead, dear ones?
Courthouse.
Amen. In the area of the courthouse. And continue, number four, when did the story begin in our lesson number seven?
When Jesus told that the Jews, wrath, or another word for impenitence, will never change or be the same in the future as well as the past.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. And the fifth one, how could you relate to the story, dear ones?
I believe that as I can relate in that, as we try to give the word or the gospel to each other or friends or strangers, that we could maintain indignation for sin, but have mercy and love for the sinner, because we are all sinners.
Amen. The last question, dear ones, what did you learn from the lesson? And if you would like to type it as well, you can be able to do in your own words. If anyone would like to share their answer to this particular question, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
I learned that being victorious doesn't mean that you have a grander display of winning, because as I was listening to the story, it showed that on slide 19 that Christ had walked away victorious. And I wondered just how was this so, but the seeds were planted that he was given from the very message, and many as a result were converted by it. And so you don't have to see the work in us giving the gospels even to our friend, our family. We don't have to see the fruit at hand, but just to do our work and to plant the seeds, and the Lord will do the increase of it, as we have seen here. So that is what I have learned from this lesson.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And indeed, dear sister, as a farmer would just have the work to throw the seed, it is God that do the increase, and he is the one that also generate the seed that it may be able to sprout. Is there any other question? Let me just, okay.
I have
are there, sorry?
I'm sorry. I have two questions, but I don't know if we will have the time.
No, go ahead, dear sister.
So I'm not remembering which slide it was on, but I guess it was almost to the end where he says, I left unto you this place desolate. I was wondering, as a question, what does that mean? Not so much for myself, but for the younger hearers. And the other one was, this one, where the ceremonies will be meaningless. What would that mean? From henceforth, the service will be a mockery and will be meaningless.
Thank you so much, dear sister. Besides, anyone would like to be able to share their answer, I would just touch upon the two questions. When God's people that the Lord had left as depositaries of the word of God to teach the people had rejected him, and when he had did everything possible to bring them to a knowledge of his truth, because so many things had been added that was added by the laws of men and not of God, Christ came to be able to settle. But they had still rejected not only the word of life, which is himself and what he has given them to be able to accomplish by giving the word to the people. The Lord had left the temple desolate. And one of the incidents that we know that we definitely can have something to see for everybody to see that the Lord had actually left the temple. In the picture of that last slide, do you remember that when Jesus died, right next to it, in his crucifixion, they was about to be able to do the ceremonial of actually slaying the lamb. But when the Lord left it desolate, there was a hand that basically had rendered the actual curtains that had left it open, that all of us can be able to go boldly to the throne of grace. Not only was that an open manifestation for the priests and everyone to know, but also remember that the lamb, that lamb particular one, was not slain because Jesus was the Lamb of God, being that he was the only one worthy that could be able to impute righteousness and remove all the sin that everyone had actually had transgressed against the word of God and also his commandment. There was no lamb or no animal or no blood or any ceremony can be able to do that, but only one that was not only equal to the Father, but was able to blot it out from us. If there's any other...
And everything has ceased from day on.
The ceremonial laws were not necessary anymore, for the Lamb of God had came to be able to pay it all and restore all. If there are any of the dear brethren that would like to add to the questions, not only for the sake of the answer of the sister, but also for the little ones to also be enlightened by the message.
When Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate, it means God's presence left. And the making it a mockery, well, when you come to bring a gift to someone and the person's not even there, that's mockery. And that's what they would be doing after that. They would be bringing their lambs and sacrificing them supposedly to the Lord, but he was no longer there. He said, your house is left to you desolate. Spirit of prophecy says that the Holy Spirit left the temple and lingered for a short time, I believe it was, over Mount Olivet as he was leaving the area because his spirit was... the house was left desolate because God's spirit had left.
Amen. So the Shekinah glory was no longer in the temple.
Not only that, but they were rejecting Christ and his sacrifice.
by continuing those sacrifices of animals.
Amen. Indeed. Thank you so much, dear Sister Jean. Is there anyone that would like to continue on those questions?
So they were thinking that they could reject Christ and his message and come in with their own and think that their own would be better. That's a mockery. It's like laughing in God's face and saying that my way is better.
They didn't accept him as the Lamb. We didn't accept him as who he is.
Can you share?
Yes, they didn't accept him as the Lamb. They didn't even know. They didn't even accept him as the Messiah. And when he said that, it will leave this place desolate, meaning that the reject is already there. So it just there's no point of the temple, because the temple was made to house the glory of God. But if they reject it, there's no glory. There's no God. So whatever they were doing, whatever concept that they had in their mind, they were practicing because they didn't believe it. I guess they believed something else was coming. I don't know.
So in other words, they continue as they were because they did not took the light that had came to them. So they continue in their error. Mm-hmm. Well, dear ones, we have also a poem to share in the room. It's entitled Love and Respect for Parents, taken from Family Bible Lesson Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 12, from page 84, from the Children's Activity Book from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
My father, my mother, I cannot your kindness repay.
Repay.
But
I
hope that as older I grow, I shall learn your commands to obey.
Obey.
You loved me before I could tell who it was that so tenderly smiled. But now that I know it so well, I should be a respectful child.
I am sorry that ever I should be naughty and give you a pain. I hope I shall learn to be good, so never grieve you again.
But fear that I ever should bear from all your commands to depart. Whenever I'm saying a prayer, alas for a respectful heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's okay. If there's any testimony, dear ones, that you would like to share with the room, but before, I would like to just state what was placed in the room by our dear brother, Elder Ralph. He said they did not want to leave, but probation had closed. Just a little comment. That will be the same thing how we can relate to the story. When we give the message of the Sabbath truth to many, even though they saw the evidence from a thus said the Lord, and all the evidence that has been given even through history, if they decided to reject it, they go back to continue worshiping as they were. So they go back to keeping Sunday or even in the part of prophecy. That's how we can be able to relate that the same thing that they had done in the past, they will do also in the future because it was not suitable for their either lifestyle or their darling idols. So that will be how we can relate. Is there any testimony? I have one, but I will reserve it until after the service because I do not want to take more time that we have to give the other services a chance.
I have a testimony, and my testimony is that my oldest child is doing a lot better.
Praise the Lord. We have come to the ending of our review from our last part of our chapter 67. If anyone of the dear brethren would like to be able to continue sharing anything on the topic that we have just shared, you can continue to do so during the youth study. If our dear remnant family from Colombia would like to do closing the hymn of our opening, may you unmute your mic, dear family.
Oh, cantadmelas otra vez, bellas palabras de vida. Hallo en ellas mi gozo y luz, bellas palabras de vida. Si de luz y vida son sostén y guía, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Jesucristo a todos da bellas palabras de vida. Hoy escúchalas, pecador, bellas palabras de vida. Bondadoso te salva y al cielo te llama. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Grato el cántico sonará, bellas palabras de vida. Tus pecados perdonará, bellas palabras de vida. Si de luz y vida son sostén y guía, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Amén.
Amén. Gracias, querida familia. Thank you so much, dear family Garay. Next week, we will begin a new chapter, dear ones, of our lesson entitled In the Outer Court in our storybook, The Child Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. If we can bow our heads and our hearts as we come boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and heavenly Father, as we come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that these seven lessons that we have just learned, we may go back and take our time to be able to see what are the gems that is needed. For we are living for such a time as this that we will be placed before officials, and we will be placed in a situation that the only example we have of how to stand, how to be able to do everything in the convictions that we do have with the pillars of our faith, that we may remember what our Savior had done. To pray also for the Holy Spirit to be able to be our speech, our mouth, basically anything that will come out to the power of the Holy Ghost, that we may stand in integrity. For there is nothing that we can do in our flesh, and the flesh will never stand true before any of the people that will be witness to our circumstances. Father, we thank you and we love you for the privilege that we all have, that we can come together and freely worship God with no hindrance. Many would like to be able to have the same privilege, Father, but they may know that they could do the same thing, going on their knees and asking. The best guess and the best place is to be at the feet of Jesus. Father, forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for Christ-like spirit, Father. May you give us the ability to raise to the occasion of such a time as this, that we may be able to continue giving the third angel's message, that it may continue to go to the remote places of this world. By the Lord cry, we know that we will have power from on high to be able to do this work. But sanctify us through thy truth, Father Jesus, for the word of truth is the only thing that can awaken someone from sleep and darkness. Be with the little ones, Father, and also with their moms and their dads, and also with those that are among them, their older siblings. Help them to know that they have a responsibility, because truly by beholding, we do become transformed. We thank you and we love you. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and everything that we have done in this tabernacle. Pleading the blood of Christ always to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bless each and every one of us here and those that are not here, Father. And bless the rest of the service is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will have our lesson 318. Chapter 68, entitled In the Outer Court, and that will be held November 28, 2020. I hope and pray that everyone will bless, and may you continue to have a blessed rest of the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen.